Welcome to the Undivided Podcast with Dr. Chris Crane. Dr. Crane is the Executive Director of the Birmingham Metro Baptist Association. The BMBA exists with the mission to encourage, equip, and engage the community for the glory of God.
This is Chris Crane. It's an honor to have you listening to us here on the podcast. And today I have Mark Clifton in the studio. Mark Clifton is the Senior Director of Replant for the North American Mission Board, one of our partners. And Mark, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, it's great to be with you here in this building. With already met a bunch of your pastors today, and they are fully engaged in mission and being on mission in Birmingham, and it's just a great place to be. So thank you for this invitation.
It's our pleasure, Mark. And we're going to talk about bringing life to dying churches, and I know no one who has more expertise in helping churches as they consider bringing life to a church that's dying. And we just had a session with a group of pastors talking about how to partner with churches that need life. So, Mark, just tell us, what does the landscape look like right now across our family faith, SBC, and in general?
Yeah, we have about 800 churches every year that, unless something happens, some kind of intervention, they're going to be forced to close. And this happens every year. Now, we have 48,000 churches, but that's still 800 is a lot of churches. That's as large as some denominations. And Chris, the majority of those churches are in communities where people are living. They are not in depopulated rural places. That's not where the majority of our churches are closing. In fact, 77% of them in a previous year closed in communities larger than 100,000 people. And so we really have to be focused and passionate about helping these churches find a new way to live and a new path so they do not close their doors. So we are all about replanting, revitalizing, reinvigorating dying churches to remain open and to have their best days yet to come.
Well, that's counterintuitive to me. Why is it that churches in urban areas tend to have issues and close, and churches in rural areas can stay open when they're shrinking?
Yeah, I agree, and it is counterintuitive. In fact, so much so that a number of years ago when this first study we did came out, I had a chance to sit down with Ed Stetzer, and I was telling Ed, you know, Southern Baptists close 800 a year. And he said, yeah, but probably most of those are where people don't live. I said, no, you couldn't be more wrong. And he's hardly ever wrong. but intuitively, you think it would be because, you know, we do have a majority of churches in the South are in small towns and rural areas, no doubt about it. So you would think, well, that's where the churches are closing. But a rural church generally has a small building that's easy to keep up. Generally, it has a history of probably less than 40 or 50 people for decades. And a rural church can have 12 or 15 people and still have what we call social validation. The community looks at it and says, yeah, it's still a church. It's okay. You have funerals there. You have weddings there. If the roof leaks, we'll just fix it. There's probably no debt on the building, that kind of thing. A lot of things in those small towns are small, right? It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But you have a church in a city of 10,000 to 50,000 to 100,000 that the building maybe was built when it could seat 300, and the church is now down to 30 in gathered worship attendance. Well, if someone from the community were to walk in there, they would say something's wrong with this. So we say that church lacks social validation. Plus, that building is far more expensive to maintain and difficult to maintain. And also, that building might have some value, some financial value. And the church may say, you know, we probably should just sell this, give the money to missions, and move on. And so there's a pressure to close those churches in the cities that's not there in the rural places. And so, unfortunately, we're closing churches where we desperately need churches. You think about it, Chris. We close a church probably within walking distance of somebody whose child has just got addicted to opioids.
Wow.
From somebody who just found out their spouse has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. From someone whose marriage has just fallen apart. And yet we're closing a church within walking distance, perhaps, of their home. We can't let that happen.
No. So here in our network, our family of faith here in Birmingham, we have about 180 churches. And what I've seen in looking at the numbers, we have a considerable number of larger churches and then a considerable number of small churches. And I've noticed a vanishing middle. Is that something you see?
Completely. I tried to talk about that this morning, and I was probably ineffective. But
No, you weren't.
But there's almost two. There's like two tiers of churches. There are those that are growing and doing somewhat well. And then there are so many others that are barely hanging on, that are just struggling. And even today, I had a couple of guys come up to me and say, you know, before COVID, we might have been 40 or 50, but now we're 20, and we don't know how much longer we can stay together. And that's what we're talking about. There's this, we've lost that middle. You know, when I was younger, and probably you were younger, there were a lot of Southern Baptist churches that were between 100 and 300 people.
Right.
That was kind of the normal neighborhood Southern Baptist church. That is vanishing. It's either the large church that has a big campus and lots of people, or it's a church that used to be 300, is now 75, and perhaps sinking. And that is something we have to reclaim the neighborhood church, is what we should be saying.
I love it. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. So, Mark, how can some of our churches that have resources and leadership and a good DNA, good culture, how can they help a church that's struggling?
I think first and foremost, they need to pray for those churches. So I think they could reach out to you and say, could you give me a list of three or four churches that are struggling? We just want to pray for them. And then have those pastors call the pastors of those struggling churches and say, look, no agenda at all, I promise. We just want to meet you for lunch. And meet them for lunch and say, look, we're going to start praying on Sunday morning for some of our sister churches. How can we pray for you? What can we do? How can we really beseech the Lord for you? What's your greatest needs? And then maybe even take some pictures of that church and of that pastor and his wife. And on Sunday morning, let your congregation know, hey, we're praying for this sister church. Here's the pastor. Here's the building. Let's pray together. Let these churches that are struggling know that churches that are not struggling, that you have a heart for them. And they're on your mind and they're on your heart. So just begin by praying for them. Secondly, you might want to just begin by even adopting the pastor and his wife. Find out when their anniversary is and send them an anniversary gift. Let them go out to dinner. Just find some way to minister to them, because I know they're hurting. And then to lean into you, Dr. Crane, and say, okay, now we're praying for them. We're perhaps ministering to them in some way with their families. Could you help us maybe figure out, working together with them, how our church might come alongside and actually help do some ministry? Because sometimes if the first thing that happens is a larger church calls a smaller church and says, hey, we'd like to come help you, it's like, what do you want from us?
Right.
You're going to take our building. You're going to take us over. There's a lot of rumors about how churches do that. So begin with loving them and praying for them and serving them. And then I would say lean into your association and say, hey, could you kind of help start some conversations between us and them and see how we might help them and what God could do in this relationship we'd have together.
This is great. And could you take the flip side, Mark, and tell us, if you're the small church,
Oh, yes.
Yeah. What do you need to do?
I don't think you fully understand how much larger churches want to help. They really do. Now, here's the problem. Oftentimes, smaller churches want to tell a larger church how to help us. Okay,
send us money and send us people.
Well, that's probably not going to happen for a variety of reasons. First of all, you can't send people where they don't want to go, so that's a different situation. And frankly, money—I know that's hard to hear this—money never solves any problem in a church. So it's not a problem. Money. There are other issues. But if a weaker church or a struggling church will reach out to a stronger church and say, "Just what I said, would you pray for us?" I know you probably have a prayer ministry or something. Can I give you some prayer requests? Would you pray for us? There isn't a larger church in Birmingham that would tell that church, no, we're not going to pray for you. Right. Of course they'll pray for you. And then if you give them some specific things, and I know that I've never pastored a church of more than 150 people. So I know what it's like to be in a small church. Church I'm at now, 38 there on Sunday morning. But if I give a specific need to a larger church, and say, hey, we're going to have an event in our community, and we need this to help pull that off. And it's, you know, 6 months ahead. It's not tomorrow, right? It's out there. Is there some way you could help us do that? Almost invariably, they'll figure out some way to help you do that.
Yes.
If you're specific about it, there's a reason you're doing it, and you give them enough lead time. So I think, and then you start doing that, you develop a relationship with that larger church, and you begin to lean into them a little bit, and they very much may want to come alongside and help you. Here's what I do know. In Southern Baptist life, Chris, resources flow toward activity. So in a small church, in a struggling church, if you start doing some activity that shows people that you are really gospel focused and you want to reach your neighborhood, other churches will come alongside and help you do that.
Yes.
But you've got to get started. You can't wait for them to come do the work for you. I was at a church in Kansas City one time, and I was working for the association, and this church was about to close its doors, and I went out to meet the pastor, and he was kind of bitter. He said he named the four or five churches he called in our association big churches and asked for help, and they didn't help him. And he said, they don't care about me. They don't love me. And I don't know. I was younger and probably not as kind as I am now. I said, brother, God didn't call those pastors to this church. He called you to this church. Mm. This is not their ministry. This is your ministry. You can't blame them for not coming here, right? You do what you can do here, and they'll join you in it. But you can't say, I can't do anything. You've got to come do this. So, yeah.
Right. Well, before we have to get away from this podcast today, I wanted to tell our listeners about the 2023 Revive Summit that's coming to Birmingham. We have several pastors and church leaders out there who would be interested in coming to Hope Community Church, and we're going to drop that in the show notes today. We want you to register for that. And the North American Mission Board is being so gracious into to Birmingham by bringing this here. So what is this?
It is great. I'm telling you. Look, I've been in Southern Baptist life for 60 years, literally, and I've been to every conference you could ever imagine. And I'm telling you, I'm absolutely telling you, the best I've ever been to. This thing, this 2 day, is it 2 day here or 1 day?
It's 2 days. 2 days.
Yeah, 2 days. This is one long day or two other days. This is a 2 day event with some men who deeply love the church, deeply love pastors, and this is not, listen, you are not going to come to this thing and be told, here's this program, here's how you do this, here's what you need to do better. You're going to come to this, are you ready? And you're going to find out that Jesus is the answer to every problem your church has.
Love it.
And you're going to find ways to fall deeply in love with him and his church. Richard Blackaby, I'm telling you, God is using Richard Henry's son in a way that is unbelievable right now. He's got some new material and some new books, and he's just really living out the overflow of his relationship with Christ. Richard is the main speaker at this. It'll transform you. And then Frank Lewis, what a gifted preacher, a gifted communicator. He's going to help you understand how to communicate the gospel in your preaching. Joe Kreider from Southwestern Seminary is going to help you understand how to do music in a simple way. Chris, we make music too complicated in our churches, and how to get people to worship. And then a bunch of other good stuff. Bring your lay folks. When we've done this in Oklahoma and Illinois and other places, even Alaska, it was the lay people who came and got really excited about revitalization.
That's
and
great.
The pastors were like, I'm so glad I brought my lay people.
September 12th and 13th, 2023. Love to have you. And we'll drop the registration in the show notes. Mark, it's been great to have you here today. Thank you so much for what you do for the North American Mission Board, for all of us.
Well, thank you for your friendship. I really enjoy you as a buddy and the partnership we have here in Birmingham.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to Undivided, a podcast of the Birmingham Metro Baptist Association. For more information on the association and to sign up for our newsletter, please visit bmbaonline.org as we seek to encourage, engage, and equip others in the Great Commission of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.